Hello and welcome to Wonder Pod, episode 71. That's right, we're back again for another week. Joining me, as always, is Glacinator.
Hello, everyone.
Off to see some silly movie about a kid wizard. So, he might not make it through the whole show. We might just throw him off. I'm teasing for you Harry Potter fans. Don't attempt to curse me. First off, it won't work, and second off, I curse better than you can. Also joining us, as always, the man, the myth, the legend, Patrick.
What is going on, people? Week 2 of the Calgary Stampede. I haven't taken my boots off yet. They're really starting to stink.
You know, I was going to tell you, and you, of course, have been entertaining guests and all that stuff. I was going to tell you that it even threw me when I edited it, because I'm so used to you doing the, what's going on, people, that when you went, woo, last week, like Ric Flair, it threw me when we recorded it, and it threw me when I was editing it, because it's like, that's just not right. He's not doing that.
That's right.
That's okay.
Yeehaw!
There you go. Well, that's okay. If you're ever mysteriously lost to us forever, we're training your replacement over here on my right as my screen sits. So we've got your replacement already learning the ropes. His first lesson is Pat in training was last night on For Dead. Speaking of video games.
Oh, wait. Before we go on, I do have a special announcement. All right.
Whoa.
Earlier this week, I was walking around, and I seem to have found a black hole wormhole thing. And through it, I was able to connect with one of our very best friends here. So, yes, that's right. I have managed to contact our own very own Survivor Not G through this wormhole, and he will be joining us through very jumbled sentences throughout the rest of this podcast. Exactly.
Survivor Not G for the win.
Patrick, just in case you're curious, I have no idea that this was going to happen.
I was like, okay.
They did a good job hiding it from us. They were playing like Top Secret Agent Grab Ass last night on Left 4 Dead, too, so I kind of figured something was coming. Now that we know that Survivor Man, fucking whoever, is going to be here in wormhole form. Patrick, I know you've been stampeding, or stampeded, but have you had any time to play video games this week?
A little bit. I've been away from the interwebs quite a bit with people over from other sides of the world, but played a little bit. Of course, I played my mandatory Halo at some point. I think I get parts of my anatomy cut off if I don't play that by Bungie, so I have to keep doing it. Also played a little more Crysis 2 on my PC. I know I said I'd play some multiplayer, but I just haven't had the time with friends over and stuff. One thing I did, I finally got my hands on Zelda OOT 3DS about 3 days ago. Of all places, I found a cartridge, I found a game at a drugstore. That's right, I didn't find it at Best Buy or Future Shop or anywhere. I found it at Shoppers Drug Mart, of all places. Just saw it by chance as I was waiting forever in line for some idiot to refund their item, and I just saw over the cashier's head, oh my god, they sell Zelda here. So I finally picked it up. As we know, it's basically the same classic Zelda from the Nintendo 64, which of course, one of the best games of all time. I mean, hands down, you'll be pretty hard pressed to not find someone have that legitimately in their top 10, if not right up there in the top 2 or 3 of all time. What's different about the 3DS version? Well, not a heck of a lot aside from portability and, of course, 3D. The graphics are better. They are done a little bit better. The resolution is better. The textures are better. The sound is pretty much the same. I don't think they did anything major to improve it. It's a good soundtrack. I like the soundtrack. But, you know, they did nothing really to improve it. Gameplay-wise, of course, it's like any other Zelda game that anyone's played after this game, including Wind Waker and all the others. Hell, it's even like a few games that have come after it that aren't Zelda games, like parts of Darksiders and Star Fox Adventures. I don't think you'll get the exact same feeling playing this game now than you would, of course, back on the N64 way back then. if it's the first time you've played it. You'll still like it. I recommend it for anybody who's got the 3DS. Pick the game up for sure. But, you know, it's not quite as exciting as the first time I played it, but I guess that's granted. I'll talk a little bit about the 3D visuals, since that's the biggest thing, aside from portability, the biggest difference. They're pretty well done, really. They're not over the top. They're not in your face 3D House of Beef kind of thing. Nothing's sticking out at you. I guess one way of describing it is like the movie Avatar, which, if you haven't seen it, completely in 3D and immerses you in a world, but nothing about that movie was in-your-face 3D. It was subtle. It was well done. Same with Zelda here on the 3DS. One thing that's a bit of a problem for me was the field of view. Now, Glacinator's talked about this before, and I've talked about this before. There's sort of a sweet spot with your 3DS. It's not that hard to find because you can move it. It's not like a 3D TV where you have to move your seat or get your ass up and, you know, figure out the sweet spot. All you got to do is move the little thing an inch or two. But for me, I guess I get carried away with my sword and carried away with my button smashing, because every time I'm in a fight or something, I must push the buttons a little too hard and it moves the 3DS half an inch to the left, half an inch up, half an inch down, and I start to get a double image. So I got to be a little more careful with the field of view and not be quite so, violent with my buttons, so to speak. Aside from that, it's Zelda. It's really good. I really like it. Glacinator, did you ever have that problem with the field of view, or how do you do with the 3DS, the 3D part of it?
As I said last week, or 2 weeks ago, what I would do is I would turn it off, the 3D off and on different times. So if there's ever a segment of the game where it required a lot of button mashing, or I had to move around my hands around a lot, I would turn it down a little bit or off. And if there's a part where, you know, it was relatively easy to control, then I would have it up all the way.
Yeah.
I just kind of played with the meter a little bit.
I got a little used to it, and I kind of purposely stopped smashing the button so much when I was using the sword, and it seemed to work a little more. And, you know, turning it off, I pretty much play 3D. I mean, it is a 3DS, and I'm lucky enough that it doesn't hurt my eyes like some people, so I'll use the gimmick if it works well, and it definitely works well. But definitely there's times just to save your battery. I mean, some people don't know the whole point of the 3D is there's two separate images, obviously, being processed at the same time. I mean, that sucks the hell out of your battery. That's like having two handhelds plugged into the same battery, really, right? The engine's working twice as hard. So in places like Hyrule Field, where, you know, I do it once or twice in 3D, but let's face it, there's not much going on there. It's an N64 game. It's pretty barren. I'll turn it into 2D until I get somewhere more interesting. But anyways, that's all I've been playing this week. I highly recommend buying Zelda for the 3DS.
Glacinator, tear it up.
Really, this week, I've just been doing some more Minecraft as usual. We're still working on our Transcontinental Railroad to get from our main village to Bruce's Hermit Outpost. Bruce also died last night, a horrible flaming death. I'm sure he'll talk about that. But other than Minecraft, I think I played some Halo earlier this week, and I played Left 4 Dead last night with the guys, as they said, and I pretty much shot everyone in the back, like Pat. So I'm glad I filled in that void that was there.
He did, Pat. He did a really good job. He stole, like, two of my special kills, and he shot me in the back at least, like, three times.
Nice. Good work.
So it's like you weren't even gone. Yeah,
right.
I mean, it had that comfortable feeling of Left 4 Dead with the WonderPod crew.
Nice. Good job, Glacinator.
Yeah. I mean, and from my earlier thing, I don't wish you any ill will, and I don't want to see you get hit by a city bus or smacked with a purse by a mad old lady when you don't deliver her mail fast enough or you stomp her petunias. But it's just comforting to know that if for some reason you're no longer able to do this show, Glacinator's just coming along just fine.
Dickhead. All I got was the dickhead part of it, but that's probably the point.
Yeah, that's pretty much the point. You know, because that's the thing, and he doesn't even apologize. He just, I would know when it was him because he would be behind us, and yeah. Or G's obviously in front of me. So, yeah, that's It was still fun. That's part of the fun for us with Left 4 Dead. Huh?
We made it to the end.
Yeah, second try. I don't know what it is about the parish in that final level, even on the easiest setting, which, yes, we were playing full pussy mode. Kiss off if you don't like it. I just, unless you get the right breaks and the whole crew is really close together and you don't have too many derp-a-derp incidents, that son of a bitch is a pain in the ass. Only time I got across it first try was playing with all AI when I played it single player. And I'm starting to think that was pure luck. So, I'm sorry, Glaze, that was it for you?
No, oh, yeah, that was it.
Okay. Well, you heard, I played Left 4 Dead 2. It's the only time I turned on my 360 this week. I'm pretty much stuck with the Minecraft kind of PC stuff and some iPhone stuff. First, the Minecraft thing. Like Glacier said, I died a flaming death last night. Now, you fall in lava occasionally, or you just get stupid and greedy, and you get, you know, you get yourself trapped, and you burn to death. And, I mean, you can pack a bucket of water with you, but a lot of times, you're just never going to be fast enough to get the fire put out before it burns you to death. Here's what pissed me off about it last night. I think, due to my distance from the server, which is with Glacinator, my character either started to move by itself lagging, or I just didn't spot a hole. I don't even recall touching the keyboard. But, somehow I ended up in lava. And what's interesting is this was where Minecraft becomes a very interesting game, because to me it takes you back to the old days of a lot of RPGs or MMOs, in that in a situation like that when you die, especially doing what Glacinator and I were doing, which was, for lack of a better term, dungeon raiding, looking for very rare materials, it really puts some emphasis on being careful. A lot of times when we play games these days, and when you die, unless you're stupid and haven't saved in a while, or there's no autosave, you're really not punished all that badly. Believe you me, if you die in a situation like I did last night in Minecraft, it punishes you. And to be honest, I don't want it in every game like a lot of those old games were. You know, I mean, there was like EverQuest, you'd lose a huge chunk of experience every time you die. I'm sure there were some single-player RPGs. I know a few adventure games were like that. But it is, I like it in this. I mean, I literally was almost physically sick because we had, I think I had like 30 blocks of gold on me and like probably 8 blocks of diamond, the two most rarest elements in the game. And for this Transcontinental Railroad project we're doing, which as soon as I chicken wing and badger him enough, Glacinator's going to make a nice video of it for you. We really needed that stuff. And so to lose it and lose it in that manner, it just really depresses you. But at the same time, it drives you to go, okay, it happened. There's nothing I can do about it. Just rebuild, start over, and do it again. And I think that's one aspect of Minecraft that's really hooked me in this time. And the other one, I think, is personality specific. What we are doing, and I'm sure we'll continue to do, maybe less over time as more games on other platforms we want to play come out, is we're really just kind of building whatever comes to our minds, sometimes as a group, sometimes by ourselves. So I think if you have the right personality and really want the freedom to just build and just try things and do things and design things, then Minecraft's really, really, really going to intrigue you. If your personality isn't such to where you want to let your imagination run wild and just see what crazy crap you can come up with, then it may not be for you as much. That's nothing against either personality type. I'm just noticing as we do this more in multiplayer that the things that we're cooking up, and I mean, it's going to be pretty hard to top this Transcontinental Railroad. It's pretty impressive. I mean, it's going a pretty large distance between the main town where I've kind of set up camp in this
cross.
Yeah, is it at least one map across?
At least.
Yeah, so for you Minecraft heads, it's at least one map across, which a map in Minecraft is a large distance. So Minecraft's going to keep me intrigued for quite a while. I mean, to the point of a combination of Minecraft and not really being in the mood still, I haven't played any two worlds. I haven't touched Saints Row again since I finished it last week or finished the main storyline. But I did pick up one new game on the iPhone, and I'm also continuing to play Tiny Tower. Tiny Tower is you know, it's one of those things, you can check it like 3 or 4 times a day, see what your little dudes are doing, add new floors, restock your businesses, you know, it's just fun. It's just a fun time waster. And the other game I picked up was The Blocks Cometh. Now, it's been out for quite a while. I picked it up for a certain reason. Considering the reaction I got when I explained a certain reason last night in Xbox Live was not, it seemed about as welcome as a fart in a spacesuit. I'm not going to really go into the reason I picked it up, but the game itself is really, really fun. And for 99 cents, an iOS game, it's a blast. Basically what you are is you're a little dude, you have a weapon, and you're trapped inside Tetris. Your job, as blocks fall, or cometh, is to jump up onto these blocks as they continue to stack and see how high you can get, you know, how high in meters. I think in one mode, the highest I've gotten in meters is like 500 right now. I mean, it's a really hard game, but it's really fun, and it's really pretty easy with the touchscreen because they give you almost like a D-pad on one of the console controllers where it's 2 arrows to go left and right. A is to jump, and B is to fire your weapon. So you actually have on-screen prompts to touch. And, of course, you can do it where you just kind of move the iPhone around or iPad. But I prefer the D-pad method. For a very simple game, it's a really good game. And if you don't know the backstory of this game, it was ripped off by another company and put on iTunes. And then through some various methods, the ripoff company got it yanked off iTunes, and now Halfbot, the maker of The Blocks Cometh, has their version on there. Their version is extremely fun to play. Like I said, it's basically you're trapped in Tetris, and you're jumping around. There's 3 modes to it. There's classic mode, which basically you got 1 life. How high can you get? There's casual mode, which the blocks drop a lot slower. You have 3 lives. And then there's arcade mode, which is 3 lives, but the blocks drop at the same rate as classic mode, basically, something around there. But for 99 cents, if you've got an iPad or an iPhone or some kind of iOS device, I highly recommend it. Fun game, just a real blast. And I think that's all I've been playing this week. Yeah, that's pretty much it. Yeah, Minecraft is sucking up a ginormous amount of Glacinator and Ice time. It's it basically. Is.
Oh. It's like a monster just engulfs you.
I suspect that when things like, well, at least for me, Saints Row the Third and maybe Gears of War, I'm thinking like September, October, it'll probably
Until
start.
Until 3, when that, when that comes out, definitely I'll be more on the console side then.
Well, yeah, I mean, Battlefield's without question, but I think as we hit September and October, there's more games where we're probably going to lay back less and less, but at this juncture, I don't see us giving it up entirely, even though the delays and delays and delays on the next update are starting to torque me off. It's not enough to make me quit playing the game, because I don't really want to wait until September for the goddamn next update, when it should have been out already, as far as I'm concerned. Let's move on. Our discussion topic. I had seen this kind of before, and then there was a video where the title was, the topic was specific, and it was about replayability. Now, I had seen people going, well, it's I've only played this game once because there's no multiplayer, there's no co-op, none of that. And it always struck me as stupid. But then the more I thought about it, I thought, maybe I'm on the wrong side of the fence here. Maybe I'm the one who's easily entertained and can replay through games a number of times, no matter what game. I mean, I've played through Modern Warfare 2 a bunch of times, Modern Warfare 1, The Saboteur, Oblivion, as you've heard, I played Dragon Age twice, regretted it for the most part both times. I look around here, you know, so I'm a replay nut, so this whole gotta have co-op, gotta have multiplayer, it's not worth my money and time, just really doesn't make sense to me. Mr. Patrick, will you replay through games, or do you tend to just more one and done it?
Well, more recent games, yes. I'll one and done it depending on the game. Like Battlefield Bad Company 2, I just played that single-player mode once, and I had no intention of playing it again. And a lot of games come out these days, in the last couple of years, so fast. So many big titles, so many good titles that you almost only have time these days to do it. But that said, I'm also an old fart who had to play games over and over again, and who doesn't mind playing a short game over and over again. You know, back in the days when we were, whether they were, hell, Pac-Man or Space Invaders, I mean, that was nothing but replay the same maze, the same dots, the same ghosts. The only difference in Pac-Man was different color fruit in the same spot all the time. So I think guys like us, maybe, definitely guys like me, just speaking for myself, I guess, we're down, we're fine with the replay. I like replaying a game that I want to replay. It can be a short game, as long as I get to have fun and play with it. You know, GoldenEye on the N64, we're talking, you know, talking about shooters here. There was no online multiplayer, and very rarely did I play even split screen. I played that game over and over and over. I played the damn level over again. I played, I think, the sniper level. My friend used to play that in the snow over and over again, and we never got bored of it. So I'm definitely, I can see why today there's so many games that come out that some people might just play it once and be done with it. But I think people my age, we're definitely down with the replay. I mean, I could, that Child of Eden or whatever, that game, they say it's only an hour long for Kinect. I'll probably buy that when it's cheap because it has great replay.
You should get Fruit Ninja. It's going to be like, it's not going to be very much. It's going to be like 800 points for Kinect, dude.
That's not bad. Yeah,
chopping fucking fruit in your living room. Dude. Oh, it'd be a riot. As much, yeah. No, as much stupid fun as it is on the iPhone.
Yeah.
I bet on Kinects. Crap's getting destroyed. If Stinky Wombat's little kid's walking around, he better watch out because he might get clotheslined while you're like jumping around chopping fruit. And not on purpose. I'm not wishing ill on the junior Stinky Wombat. But Glacinator, you tend to be a young man or an old man in a young man's body. What say you about replayability, co-op, multiplayer, blah, 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 blah?
Well, the thing is, when people say that a game has replayability, it's usually assumed that there is a multiplayer or co-op experience involved, which makes you want to play again and again because there's each time you play, it's a different experience, sort of, because there are different people you're playing with. But for me, I found that it doesn't necessarily have to be that way. Some of the games that I've replayed the most are single player. I think I've replayed Wind Waker at least 8 times. It's crazy, I know, that's so many hours put into that. And I've definitely replayed Mario Sunshine more times than I can count. And those don't even have any multiplayer aspects whatsoever. So, yes, I do replay games, but it's not as specific as it has to be multiplayer or co-op or whatever. So I guess what I'm trying to say is, where am I going with this?
I don't know. You need to tell us.
I know. I'm going to tell you. I'm losing my train of thought right now. Okay, but I just lost my train of thought. But anyway, what I was going to say is basically that games don't have to have multiplayer aspect for me to want to replay them. And replayability is a value that I do look for in games, because if a game doesn't necessarily have any replay value, then I can just wait for it to come on super cheap sale and buy it then, since I don't need to have that experience over and over and over again right away. So, yes, I do like to replay my games.
You're absolutely correct on one thing, and you nailed it. It's now assumed replayability means co-op or multiplayer, and the particular person I stole this topic idea from was the Jimquisition over at Escapist with Jim Sterling, and he was talking, because that's where he was focusing in, was people seem to think now that replayability automatically equals co-op and multiplayer, and that's bullshit. Like, his example was Final Fantasy IX and how many times he played through that, some of the older Sonics. You know, and you're absolutely right. Like, Wind Waker, I've heard a lot of people talking about, you know, that. You know, there are certain games, if you're not a complete douchebag and want to just be an ass about it, that you could go through again and again. But Patrick brought up an interesting point where I do tend to be more easily amused. than the average gamer. It's what, again, why I brought up this topic. Patrick talked about he played through Battlefield Bad Company 2's single player one time and was done. That's a pretty accurate statement of that single player, but I played through it like 47 billion times because I just loved the destructible environments, and finding new ways to blow fucking people out of buildings was endlessly entertaining to me. So make no mistake, fine listening audience, it's easier for me to replay some stuff because I just find new ways to entertain myself, which makes me an absolute weirdo, but I don't care. I was glad you brought up Battlefield, Pat, because that is a pretty good... Did you play through it more than once, Glacinator? I know you love the multiplayer, still play it now.
I think I only played through it once. Yeah, like Pat, I only did it once. I find that with games that have a multiplayer and co-op aspect to them, then I don't really care about the single player. I'll just eat the multiplayer up. Because that happened with Halo and with Battlefield, so...
Pat, speaking of Reach, did you finish Reach by yourself, or did you kind of just get sunk into the multiplayer?
No, I finished it.
I couldn't remember. I knew we talked about it for like 3 weeks on end, and then I just couldn't remember if you ever finished it. We tried finishing it a couple times on co-op and just never got around to it. So, okay, that's our discussion topic. Oh, Patrick, from Facebook to Google+, which I'm sure makes Mark Zuckerberg want to shit his fur, I heard through this now extended long electronic grapevine that we have a Facebook question this week.
We do. Our friend Chris Lloyd, who we've talked about on the show and has Chris off MySpace, great stuff to look at on YouTube, and I believe he's doing something on, what is it, MTV over in Europe, or working on something like that. Pretty awesome
he's
stuff.
He's filming.
Yes, pretty cool. He has a question, an interesting question. The question is, I don't know how we're going to approach this or who wants to go first. Okay, I have been wondering, how do you guys all know each other, and have you guys ever met in person? Just something I was wondering about, !! Happy face. So,
I have a way to handle this, and I'm kind of actually glad G said something to me on Google+ about that we had a question, because what I'm going to do, Pat, is I'm going to quickly run through the really early days until we get to you, and then since you've brought pretty much everybody to the table, you can take it from there, and then we'll let Glacinator tell us how much he hates us, because he's like the newest dude here. So,
hey.
So, Mr. Lloyd, it's really pretty simple, and this covers starting from like 2003 to 2007, and so I'm going to do it really quick. 2003, I started out at a wrestling forum board called The Oratory. That's where I met Jim Sterling, Leo Van Krinks, Morphine JCC, Jay is something or other, and a Dan, and a bunch of other people. We all kind of enjoyed the same kind of humor, same kind of dark comedy. So they started a forum board called the Morphine Nation forums. It kind of morphed into its own blog. We moved from one place to another like a bunch of damn nomads. And then, what was it, Patrick, 2004-ish when Wonderboy got slammed in with us?
I think so. I'm not 100% sure, but yeah. Somewhere
So around 2004, Project Wonderboy kind of joined forces in some kind of evil, disgusting mutant with us. That is where I first knew of Mr. Patrick Mann. I did not really interact with him because he kind of stayed down there in the Project Wonderboy forums where it was safe, and we kind of stayed up in the Nation forums where it wasn't so safe. Because I wasn't a console guy. I would read his reviews, which I'm... may have never told him that before. I would read his reviews and the stuff him and Jim and whatever were doing on Wonder Boy, but I wasn't a console guy. I was, if you're not aware, a pretty much born PC gamer. So until 2007, I didn't own a console. So while I enjoyed reading their stuff, I think I interacted in the Project Wonder Boy forums. Pat and I really didn't play games together until 2007 when I got an Xbox 360. He was like, I think the first guy, maybe the second guy, I think it was him or Jim, one of the two, to add me when I got my 360 and got Xbox Live. And then from there, I'm kind of now just the jackass that comes up with these crazy ideas like this show, and then they go along with it. Why, I don't know. I love him to death for putting up with me. But from there, Patrick's going to tell you how we got the rest of these people, because I'm not really sure.
Neither am I. It's a blur. Yes, basically one day, as Bruce was saying, the Project Wonder Boy website which, of course, WonderPod Online kind of has a bit of a name sharing with, run by whatever, and Mr. Jim Sterling and Fat DJ, guys like that. We pretty much kind of stayed on our own. Well, I guess Jim kind of did both, but pretty much stayed two separate entities within one group there. There was also the Pop Cult, which was Fat DJ's website as well. I didn't really spend too much time in there anyways. But even though he's one of the few guys I knew personally and actually would see three or four times a week. But anyways, so one day I got a friend invite from someone by the name of Origin. Which, of course...
Did I send it to you?
Yeah, you sent it to me. And then...
Wow, that's weird. I normally don't do that.
And of course, being highly intelligent, I figured it out. It was that Orgym guy from The Morphing Nation, and sometimes on Project Wonder Boy. So, of course, that's how we started. I think it was Gears of War 1, or Gears of War 2, and a couple games like that. Started playing quite a bit of that. I think we have the same old man, get off my lawn, gamer mentality, so we really hated a lot of the gamer dicks that were around before we even had a gamer dick segment. So we got along pretty good, and then I started posting a little bit on the Morphing Nation because Project Wonderboy went away. How did we find Glazenair? Guys like Gunsage and company, might as well talk about Gunsage. He's part of the show. He's not on too much lately. He was also a Project Wonderboy guy, so, and he became much more involved in Morphing Nation than I did, so he became friends with a lot of guys. As far as Glazenator is concerned, I guess I'll let Glazenator figure out how he knows us. I think I know him from a certain Nintendo website, right?
Yes, that's right. Around 2005-ish, I think, is when I got my first own computer. And so I was really interested in just browsing websites, and one of my biggest things I was interested in was just Nintendo stuff, because that's all I had ever owned was Nintendo consoles. And so I liked looking at different Nintendo websites on the internet and what people were saying about stuff. And so I came to find this site called Infindo.com. And they had this really awesome podcast back then, right before the Wii launched, when they had Scott Johnson on with it on the podcast. And it was a lot of fun to listen to. And they also had some forums over there, too. And I remember I did some posts in the forums, just random stuff, nothing really big. And it was sort of quiet over there, but there was a lot. There was enough posts for it to be interesting. And there was another poster that usually posted stuff, and going by the name of 36Wii. And he didn't necessarily always post Nintendo stuff, which was interesting, because everyone on that site seemed to be a Nintendo purist, like it was some sort of cult. Nothing, not that there's anything wrong with that, but it was a little strange sometimes. And so after the excitement of the Wii launching calmed down and people realized, wait, there's nothing to do on this thing, he started posting some Halo Reach posts about, or was it Halo Reach? It might have been Halo 3, I don't remember. But he started posting some posts about Halo, and I was sort of interested. And I think that might have been around the time when you got a 360, and that was also the same time that I got a 360, I think. And so I think eventually, over time, we sent each other a friend request, and we maybe played on Halo. And then I remember one game my brother was playing, and you were so pissed off at my brother because he was just being a total douche. And you're like, I hope you don't mind, but he's going to be a star on our show for the Gamer Dick segment. And I was like, what? What are you talking about? And so he gave me a link to the site and the podcast, and I was like, oh, this is kind of cool. And so then I was sort of like nervous. I didn't want to bug Bruce too much about wanting to join up on this. But eventually he let me, and now I'm here today. So I guess you can say it's thanks to Patrick and my dick brother that I am here.
Wait a minute. So one of our early gamer dicks was which? Was it fucking 11 Puppies?
Yeah. It was a French fry. His name was a French fry back then. But
oh, yeah, 11 Puppies is such a huge step up in the world. I love having him where it's only text. I can't hear him.
It's so nice, isn't it?
he's asked like twice, can we go on Skype? No.
Like
nobody even says anything when we're on the multiplayer. So, wait a minute. I don't even remember the French fry guy. I'm sure we did the gamer dick. That had to be Halo 3, didn't it?
It might have been Halo 3. It was a while. It had to be Halo 3. It was Halo 3.
Huh.
Oh, yeah, and Carlos came from Infindo, too. You want to know where he came from?
Yeah, I found out that Glacinator's actually been tolerating Captain Taco longer than you have.
Pretty much, yep. And also another Infendo guy, of course, who's been on the show, Mr. John Kind.
Oh, is he from over there too?
Yeah.
I think he friended me on Google Plus, but Google Plus is starting to scare me because there's people that I probably should know and don't know, and then there's people I have no fucking idea who they are, and they're following me. It's getting a little bit like Twitter. Pretty much, Chris, we kind of all we get along super well. I'm sure we've pissed each other off at times, but Glacinator, G, Patrick, myself, Gunsage, we all seem to do really well together. So when I was contemplating, you know, doing Wonder Pod online, if for nothing more than to give the podcast the permanent home, I went to these guys, you know, because I mean we've all play games, we all tend to like the same games. As Pat put it, Pat and I kind of tend to have the old man get off my lawn mentality when we're playing multiplayer. You know, oh, and we forgot Audio Master G and his various G family unit. I don't have any idea where he came from. I know that Morphine JCC hired him to write wrestling stuff for Project Wonder Boy, and glad he did, because then I suppose, for lack of a better term, I swiped him. So. By the way, Pat, it wasn't like Machiavellian or Freudia that I forgot about, or that I didn't mention DJ. I just forgot about him. I forgot he was a huge writer on the original Project Wonder Boy, wasn't he?
Yeah, pretty big.
It was you, him,
Jim, whatever.
Yeah, and I'm missing one. Who was the dude that?
Well, I got to say,
Jackie.
After a while, too.
Jackie.
Yep.
Is that right? Jackie 41 or something
yeah,
like that?
Yeah, that was yeah. And then Gunsage came and put up a lot of stuff and a bunch of, yep.
Yep. So there you go, Chris. That's kind of how this. Oh, and to answer Chris's part, another part of Chris's question, no, we have not met each other in real life.
Yes, which is very strange, as G has answered in the forums there quickly before we bore everyone to death. It would take me probably less than 15 minutes to drive where G lives, yet we've never actually met. We've exchanged phone numbers, exchanged ideas, said we're going to go have beer, said we're going to go have this, but have yet to meet, which is really kind of sad.
You know, I'm like the most antisocial prick in the world when it comes to like people around here that I actually claim to like. And I'm not that bad. You two are horrible. At least you live in the same city.
Yep. Same side of the city, too.
I know, that makes it even funnier, because I didn't know that until just now. I would like to, for my part, I would like to meet all these guys. I think since two of them are already in Calgary, as soon as Glacinator's got the wherewithal wealth or gets out of college, maybe a meeting in Calgary at some point would be cool, because I've been to Calgary before, as I think I've said on the show, and I'd like to go back. It's a great city. It's better than any other one I can think of. But I would like to meet them in person. It's hard to believe, like 10 years ago, you didn't know who you were talking to, and now it's like, oh, I'm going to go meet somebody off the internet and get stuffed in a garbage can.
Uh-oh.
So, yeah, exactly. So,
you
there
know,
you go.
This reminds me of when a multi-armed alien killed my whole crew. Too bad you weren't one of them.
Just which one of us were you talking to that time, G?
All of us.
Okay, so there you go, Mr. Lloyd. We appreciate you asking questions. We appreciate all the stuff you've done for us, telling your friends, telling your neighbors, telling your enemies, telling people all over Britain and the various parts I've seen that you've been traveling in here in the last few weeks. Hope to hear from you soon. Huh?
I have a feeling this isn't the last we'll hear from Mr. Lloyd. Da-da-da.
Are you supposed to be like that spoiler-tastic about it, or are we going to get in trouble?
I just said I have a feeling. I have lots of feelings. Sometimes
you know who's going to get in trouble for this. It's going to be me. So I just want to know if I'm getting in trouble or not getting in trouble. But I'm not getting in trouble because you only have a feeling. So there you go. You have a feeling in your pants? Is that what you said? I missed that fucking joke?
Yes, you missed that.
God damn it.
All right, moving on now that we've bored everyone.
Yeah, I'm sure you have a feeling. Wait a minute. I thought you normally did this podcast not wearing pants.
That's true. I wore pants today just so I could have a feeling in them. It's weird, but...
And you have guests in the house that don't really want to...
That was the first thing you guys said when I first came on. Was, don't worry, we're not wearing pants.
You know, that's,
that
you know,
here's
the thing. Glacinator is this 19-year-old, very nice young man who was pretty nervous his first show, but he has done extremely well putting up with Patrick and I's antics and still maintaining some sense of civility. So, you know, for him only having done now probably, 15-20 shows, he's done really, really well, and we're really glad to have him, even though sometimes I'm pretty sure he wonders why he puts up with us. Let's move on to Survivor G, which, according to the Cloak and Dagger derp-a-derp antics I saw last night on Left 4 Dead, I know this is not going to be an interesting transmission and an interesting discussion. So take it away, Survivor Not G.
We have two G's.
Holy shit, monkey! Wonderpod security interfere. Online, external message probe detected. System analysis detects sender G. Data analyzed. Prepare for audio playback.
What's up, WonderPodOnline.com crew? Survivor Not G, signing in. How's everything going with the crew this week? I'd like to say things are fantastic up here. But I'm exactly where I was last week. And the week before, and so on. You'd think I'm stuck in a creative rut, but I'm not. No, I'm stuck in an invisible wall. Still, it's not like I can return to a previous save point either. Diddy is sleeping, fortunately. I've been carefully watching that little sneak, and if he's still mucking around with the controls, he's been doing so using a stealth boy, or he's crouching so I can't see the red dot on my HUD radar. So I was sitting around the other day, doing very little, and lo and behold, what's this? An invite to join the beta for Google+, the same social media network that Google plans on taking head-to-head with Facebook and Twitter and MySpace and so forth? Will it be the next Nexopia? I have to admit, it's been fun learning this new setup. It's clean and fairly well interconnected to a number of other sites and functions that Google already owns. And it is exceptionally versatile when linked to a Gmail account. And you'd think, with all the free advertising I'm giving Google right now, they'd ante up and save this here Survivor Not G. But no! One thing I noticed very early in was the lack of games. No Farmville or Mob Wars or any other such mini-game distractions that in some ways turned Facebook into a mess for a period of time. Do you like or dislike the lack of games on the beta version of Google+? And secondly, because this is just the beta version, is this a temporary element of the network? Will Google+ eventually have games as part of their service? Or do you think that they would generate revenue without them? And since the whole WPO crew has had their first taste, what are your general preliminary thoughts about Google+? Wow, I made it through this week's recording without becoming a target of monkey feces. Been a while. Almost feels normal. Ah! Right, except for the bloody invisible wall. Forgot about that. Well, off to add some people to my circles. Survivor Not G, signing off.
Signal complete.
Survivor Not G, you must be going crazy. You're still stuck up in space hitting that damn wall. Hopefully things get better for you soon. Anyways, your question, quite interesting. Yes, the WonderPod crew has managed to sneak, and even your distant cousin, Audio Master G himself, has managed to sneak a peek, a beta, so to speak. Ooh, that rhymed. That was really sad. Anyways, sneak a peek, beta, so to speak, into Google+. And unlike other betas that Bruce has been on and I've been on, we can actually talk about it. At least we think we can. So anyways, what do we think about it? Well, your first question was really that there aren't any games as of yet. And do we like the games? Do we not like games on Facebook and stuff like that? I like it myself that there aren't any games yet on the beta for Google Plus. And because, you know, it's exactly that. It's a beta. You don't want to clutter up a beta with a bunch of stuff that could come in the future, you know. In theory, what we're supposed to be doing here is finding bugs and sending feedback and doing, there's a little thing at the bottom of the Google Plus page to send your feedback and figure out what's going on, make it a better product. So I like that there's no games on there, and I didn't play games on Facebook to begin with. Your next question about, do you think Google Plus is going to put games on it, and should they? Well, in my opinion, of course they're going to put games on it. Look at the huge success of Farmville and all the other crap, I mean good stuff that people play. It's a massive moneymaker for Facebook and for Facebook sponsors, so it's probably do the same thing for Google, I'm betting. They could generate, like you said, revenue without them. Of course they can. But you know what? It's a business, and they can generate even more with them. So that's exactly what they're going to do, I'm sure, in time. I'm not a big fan of the Facebook games, but hey, if people like them and want to play them, why not? As long as it doesn't slow things down and like it does on Facebook, which kind of pisses me off. Going back to last week, maybe there'll be a Smurf game where we can all pop Smurfette Smurfberries. I don't know. Google Pop Smurf. I don't know. Anyways, my primary thoughts or whatever on Google Plus beta. Personally, for me, I think it, like I said, it's just a beta, but it is very good, very clean. It works really well, and it's a lot easier to use so far than Facebook. I added some pictures to my own account into WonderPod, and it seems to work quite well. Seems a little faster, a little easier than Facebook, but it is basically a Facebook clone, only a bit better. I mean, let's face it, it had to be better than Facebook. If it wasn't better than Facebook, why would they make it? You know, so it succeeded in what seems to be a bit better than Facebook. It doesn't blow me away, but I like the potential of it. Assuming that if, whatever, millions, hundreds and hundreds of millions of people jump onto Google Plus, just like they did onto Facebook, if things don't get... I mean, I think that's one of the problems with Facebook, is so many people are using it, the servers are fucked, and a lot of problems and a lot of lag is occurring. So if that doesn't happen with Google Plus, it might end up being the better product. But right now, I like it, but it isn't blowing me away or anything. What do you guys think?
Before we turn Glacinator loose, I'm not sure if snuck in, I mean, when we got in, we snuck in, but I'm not sure if snuck in's a term anymore. As of today, 10 million people are already using, yesterday, Google Plus. Right. So 10 million's quite a number, and it's still performing quite well, which I will get into in my segment. All right, Glacinator, tear it up.
Okay, to answer your first question, I like that there are no games on it. Facebook games piss me off so much. I don't care how many crops you have. I don't care how many people you killed in gangster wars, whatever. I'm using this as to see what my friends are up to in real life. You know, what's happening. I don't care about your virtual pets or anything. That's just me. But what I like about Google Plus are these circles things. So I'm thinking that if Google Plus does implement games, which they probably will, they'd be stupid not to. So it's a great marketing plan, but when they do implement games, I'm probably going to have a separate circle for people that always post stupid game statuses, so I don't have to like listen to their statuses, which will be nice. And so that's what I like about Google Plus, is you can determine what you see, but you can still be subscribed to people. So it's like it has better filtering than Facebook, which is what I like, and so I will filter out all the stupid games to answer your question.
What are your overall thoughts?
It's pretty lonely right now. I mean, compared to my Facebook, I have like 500 friends on Facebook, and on Google Plus, I have like just you guys. So, I mean, once I get some more people I know on there, then I'm sure it'll be better. But right now, I'm kind of like at a loss of what to do, since there's not really anything to do right now.
I'll get to Survivor Not G's question in a second, but some of your friends are dicks, dude, because they can turn off game notifications to you and just to the other people who play games. Now, I'm not 100% positive that the few Facebook games I play, I've got them all turned off, but most of the Facebook games I play, the notifications don't go to, like, you and Pat and other people, just to the people I play games with. It's a pain in the ass with Facebook to do that, but I'd start screaming at your friends to filter you out. Because,
no, I mean, even if I'm looking at their wall,
oh,
I don't want to see that. I think it'd be cool if I could filter out the game statuses completely.
Oh, well, if you're looking at their wall, then you're being a picky.
I mean, that's just the thing. You know, you said what do you like, what you don't like.
No, I know, but I'm saying, I'm just saying, if you're looking at their wall, it's kind of, eh. I thought they were, like, spamming your, like, your page with all the...
No, I had this one kid that I added, I think he knew one of my brothers, and he was a younger kid. I don't think he was even supposed to have a Facebook in the first place, but he wouldn't stop sending me Facebook messages saying, you need to add me on Farmville, I need two more people so I can get a barn or something. It's so annoying, so I had to block him. I just don't... Stuff like that pisses me off.
Oh, I removed one of my mother's teacher friends because she kept doing that. I just said, you know what, I messaged him and said, you need to stop this. And it's like, great. I don't think I'm going to let my mother have my G+ profile. That was a mistake on my part. As to me and what I think, the games thing... Like Glacinator said, I mean, I'm not being attempting to be mean, but if you're looking at somebody's wall on Facebook and they got game shit up there, well, tough shit. But them spamming you, like we were just talking about, that is annoying. So, and I think G Plus is going to make it much easier to filter that out. You have to like dig on Facebook to find it. And like these two guys said, they're going to be stupid not to add games. It creates so much revenue. But I think going off of what games I've played in Google Chrome, which is their browser, I think the games are going to be better quality and probably overall appeal to a wider audience, perhaps maybe even these two gentlemen who don't like games. I mean, already Google Chrome's got things like Angry Birds and other things that are higher quality than Farmville and Idiotville and whatever other ville. And I know this because I played some of those on Facebook. I don't anymore. And I got to tell you, I'm pretty much done with Facebook. I mean, if there's a giant fit thrown, I will continue to communicate certain things of the website with Facebook with these guys. But for the most part, I didn't really much like Facebook to begin with. I freely and fully admit I'm a Google whore. I've had Gmail since it was in beta. I use their Google Reader. I use Google Documents. And the interface is so clean and so smooth with G+. And I don't think Google's going to stop that trend. I think when they add games, I think when they add other elements to it, I think that the interface is going to stay really clean. It's going to be really good. Right now, the only thing that Google does that has, to my mind, a muddy interface that's a pain in the ass is their Google image search. And I think they just lost their minds when Bing came out and decided to change theirs. But really, Google has always been known for a really good interface. And that's really got me hooked with G+. And the other thing, too, with G+, is you can follow people like you can on Twitter. I don't add a bunch of people as friends on Facebook because it's like, I don't know these people. Why am I sending them a friend request? I mean, I send people I actually know friend requests, but past that, I pretty much let Pat in the WonderPod Online Facebook take care of that. So, I mean, it's so nice that I can just follow certain individuals in the gaming industry or other hobbies and things that I have, and then have my group of friends over here with all the guys from WonderPod Online, a few others. There's just so much that I think they did better than Facebook that, to me, unless something major happens, and so far I have had no issues using the thing. I love it. I don't think Facebook's going to go down like MySpace did. There's too many Zanga crackheads on Facebook that will just never give it up. But I think Facebook's in for some serious competition, and Twitter might be in for a little bit of competition with this. Overall, I've been pretty happy with it, as you can tell. And so, Any final thoughts, gentlemen, or are we ready to move on from Survivor Not G?
Just got the hipster. Get in.
I just can't wait for the first person's baby duck that needs me to love them to pop up on Google.
I really seriously think that the game quality and type is going to be a lot different with Google. And because they have Android. You know, I mean, you think about it, Google's heavily invested in Android, so the type of games they're probably going to want to integrate to G+ are going to... I'm not saying you guys are going to be converts and want to play them. I just think they're going to be far less massively annoying. Because I am partially in the Glacinator camp when it comes to asking me 70,000 times to give you a piece of lumber. I'm going to give you a piece of lumber. It's going to be a 2x4, and it's going to be upside your damn head. You know, so... Plus, we may never get Pat to leave Facebook. As you've heard in previous episodes, he's a hardcore Farmville addict. He even does Animal Sounds on occasion.
That's right. That's right.
That's where he learned it.
Glacinator. My monkey's loose.
I'm sure it is. and the neighbors are now terrified. What the hell is that? What? Oh, shit. I had a good line in his fucking totally boot. I know what I was going to say. And Glacinator is currently working hard on creating a Pornville game for G+, so that all the grandmas can play it. That's what I wanted to say. You never can go wrong with doing the Pornville jokes. That's like the third show in the last five. Okay, let's move on to news. The first news story... I was going to kind of direct this news story towards a discussion, and then I decided not to because I want to just see what you guys think. This comes to us from CVG, and it's this segment they do where wrong, you got it wrong, and they give somebody a wrong badge. Basically, if you haven't heard about this yet, Kathy Lee Gifford, who is the stupidest human on the face of the planet, and some wrinkled up has been named, oh shit, let me find her name. Hada Cobb, or Katabob, I don't know, again, another fucking Botox accident victim. And this get-rich-quick scam artist, Donnie Deutsch, I should just say douche like everybody else has been saying, we're talking on, and they got this stupid-ass segment on the Today Show, and somebody sent him a message about, oh, well, do you think that... it's okay for men who play video games over their 30s. And Gifford said something extremely stupid, proving once again that I think collagen has taken place of where her brains used to be if she ever had them. And then douchebag went on a bitch, piss, piss, blah, 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 blah. Patrick, I had a specific question. Now I don't care because I'm going to rant even more when it's my turn. Patrick, what do you think of this nonsense?
It's kind of weird. I just skimmed through it because I knew right away it was going to be a stupid thing. They say the average age of a gamer is somewhere like over the age of 35, so obviously they didn't do their research very well. But if going by this article, someone just called in or wrote in and said, is it okay for my 30-something-year-old husband, whatever, to play video games? Which, of course, it's okay. If it's okay for them to do a whole bunch of things, what would they rather be out there drinking and cheating on them? I mean, it's kind of funny. And then I think the thing that the answer that one of them gave me was like, no, the answer is no. When you're in your 30s, there should be something more on your mind, more than video games or something like that. Well, I kind of agree if they're talking about an addict, but that's an addict to anything, an addict to booze, an addict to drugs, an addict to Farmville and are an addict to video games, then I would agree with them. But that's not what the question was. The question was, is it okay for my 30-something-year-old to play video games? It wasn't, he's an addict, because of course there's going to be something more on your mind. All these people have something else on their minds. It was an absolutely stupid response from them, and it was ignorant. Then they talk about those guys, weird ones in the basement. I mean, it's kind of a ridiculous stereotype generalization. I don't know where they were going with this, but they're definitely not talking about your average gamer, and they're talking about freaks. You know, I think they maybe have their perceptions a little screwed up, a little too much, like you said, plastic surgery.
the Donny Deutsch guy wants you to concentrate on buying his, the only person that's going to get rich in this fucking deal is him, scam a minute bullshit.
Yeah.
Glacinator, as a man who's not in his 30s, neither are Patrick and I. So, there you go. As a guy who's not in his 30s, what did you think of the wrinkled up parade of dumb shit?
Well, I was mostly pissed off because of the stereotype. I said it's last night on Xbox Live, but think how many gamers out there don't have basements. Don't have a basement? I mean, so...
They dig a hole. Come on.
We can just dig a hole here. There's just mud, so...
You drowned.
So that's all I have to say. I'm just mad that they didn't include me in the stereotype, so...
Yeah, you dig a hole and you dig a hole where he lives in New Orleans, there's a possibility you could drown if somebody flushes a toilet. Okay, I didn't mean that quite the way it came out. I was talking about water table, not sewer. Sorry, folks. Sorry. Oops. As for me, Patrick hit it on the head. These people's perceptions are ignorant. These three have the combined brain power of a fucking destroyed toaster. And the audience that they're talking to already thinks this. So you know who I'm most pissed at? I'm most pissed at the gaming media for covering this horse shit. Really, guys? You're so hell-bent for controversy because you can no longer feed at the trough du Sony that you're actually giving coverage to these three idiots? I mean, come on. First off, these three morons know jack all about video games, as Patrick pointed out, and their viewing audience, their target demographic, are wrinkled up retirement victims trapped in some old folks' prison who already think this about gamers. Don't give these idiots the time of day. I mean, unless you're going to do it in a way that's humorous. This story did not, a bunch of them did not. These three have no markable impact on things that happen to us as gamers. They're doctoring fools. And we just really have no business even giving them the time of day. I wanted to just bitch slap every person that I saw pop this up as a headline. It's like, really? I saw one or two that were funny, like we're doing. I mean Patrick kind of hit the attic thing, which is a good thing to point out. I made a great toilet joke. Poor Glacinator, what I meant to do. And Glacinator's right. They're being racist against people without basements. I mean, I'm in the same boat. What am I supposed to do? Go play my video Xbox now in the crawl space under my house? I'm pretty sure there's a rabid wolverine that lives there. But come on, guys. I know that we all are looking for the next Jack Thompson or Leland Yee and his stupid attack on the First Amendment. But this isn't it. Seriously, especially with Kathy Lee Gifford. If you've even watched that woman for 5 minutes, it's painfully obvious she was born without a brain. She's just stupid. Okay. I'm done. Anything else? Anybody else?
I totally agree.
Have you ever actually... I mean, I actually forced myself, in preparation for the show, I actually forced myself to sit down and watch her on the Today Show a little bit this morning. I think I lost like 50 fucking IQ points. I'm dead serious.
No, I don't think I'll do that.
No, don't. I mean, she's just... I thought she was dumb when she was on Regis and Kathy Lee. I mean, it's just gotten worse.
I'm too busy moving down to my basement to be one of those...
You actually have a basement, so they're not discriminating against you as Jeremy and Glacinator. I think we should sue him, Glacinator, for discrimination and mental anguish.
Yes. I'm severely disturbed right now.
Yeah, like, we don't have basements. We have to stay in our bedrooms and put blackout curtains up and shut off all the lights so it's like a basement.
I sort of already do that.
I know, so I was thinking the same thing. Because like 2:30, 3 o'clock in the afternoon,
the sun,
I'm actually here. Yeah, it's hitting my monitor, no. Isn't your Wii in the basement, Patrick? Dead silence.
Oh, yes, microphone. I was too busy moving. Yep, I got my Wii hooked up in the basement, so it doesn't get a lot of work. But yes, I am a basement-dwelling gamer then, I suppose.
Yeah, but you kind of, like, own your own house, so it's your basement.
Right.
The implication
right.
there is that it's not the gamer's basement.
That's true.
Ninja wife to send you down there when you've been bad or running around without pants again. that never gets old. Hey, look, we've spent so much time on other stuff that it's going to be just one more news story. Piss on it. We're not doing the Bungie Lost Their Way story. Oh, and we're not also talking about PopCap being bought by EA. You indie, small developer-loving idiots, just calm down. The sale hasn't even gone through yet. EA may not rape them. You never know. You should have seen. You want to talk about people losing their minds. And by the way, Microsoft. Bungie might have lost their way a little bit due to all the Master Chief masturbators, but I actually liked Reach as a non-Halo fan. I thought the story was pretty good. But that's not our final news story. This is our final news story. This really pissed me off. You thought I was ranting last story. From computerandvideogames.com, glitchers testing Modern Warfare 3 multiplayer. Infinity Ward reportedly enlists map monkeys for a week to discover exploits. A group of glitching specialists, read assholes who frickin' do it and it wreck my games, was reportedly flown out to California at the weekend to test Modern Warfare 3's multiplayer component. Wow, proper British English. According to Map Monkeys, which describes itself as a community of gamers who have become infatuated with discovering and sharing glitches, exploits, tricks, and strategies, it's not the first time the group has been enlisted to test Call of Duty games, although this time it's getting twice as long as usual to do so. Founder Rezzo said in the post on MapMonkey site, four members of the monkeys, I'm just cutting out the map part because it's funnier to read it that way, are being flown out to California, hey, we're the monkeys, on Sunday, July 10th, to test Modern Warfare 3, including MapMonkey, I Am Buddy 8, Skateboard, and myself. Yeah, you can tell these guys are really on the up and up and only want to do this to show them to Infinity War because they're not using their real names. They're one step away from anonymous, jackasses. Blah, 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 blah. This pissed me off for this reason. They actually knew that there were glitches in Modern Warfare 2, let it go out the door, and it became an unrolling, unholy nightmare for us. You know what, boys? I'm going to buy MW3 for the single player when it's in the $20 bin, but otherwise, IW, Sledgehammer, Activision, and Bobby Kotick can kiss my pink, studded ass. Mr. Patrick, what did you think of this story?
Kind of weird that they're bringing out the people who later are going to be putting, you know, letting everyone know about the exploits and then letting everyone know about the hacks. Kind of weird. I mean, I'm sure some of these guys are going to find hacks and not let Infinity Ward know about them so that later on they could be famous for releasing them. I guess in a way it's okay. I mean, they know that people are going to hack the online multiplayer, and why not bring some hackers in and some modders in or glitchers in to try to find the problems, I guess. But, yeah, it's kind of a weird story. It's kind of 50-50. I see why they're doing it, because I guess they want to make it look like they're trying to cover their bases, trying to find all their glitches. But at the same time, I'm pretty sure some of these guys with the funny names aren't going to tell them about all the glitches, if you know what I mean. They're going to wait so they can release them on their own later on when the game's out.
Mr. Glacinator, what do you think of this?
Hacksaurs!
Yes, like G said, like I always say, hackers going to hack. It doesn't matter what you do. You could bring the FBI in, you could recruit every gamer in the world to come play this and find all the glitches, whatever. You're always going to have some sort of glitch or mess up in the game that people are going to exploit. And like Pat said, it is extremely possible that somehow they may find something and then not say anything until the game is released and then exploit it themselves. So, at least Call of Duty is trying, or Infinity Ward, whoever's doing this now, is at least trying to show that they're trying to fix the problems that were in Modern Warfare 2. But even then, you're not going to get it 100% glitch-free on release day. So really, this doesn't really even matter in the end.
You said the perfect word, trying to show. That's all this is. It's a dog and pony show. You gave them 2 days in Modern Warfare 2, and that was the most glitchy, hack-worthy, disgusting mess I've ever played. Luckily for you, I still was into the multiplayer enough that I tolerated it. Care package glitches, guys with rocket launchers, rocket jumping and killing everything within 5 miles. Hey, here's an idea. why don't you train some people internally, or better yet, make the game not broken before it's finished? I mean, Battlefield doesn't have this problem. Halo kind of had this problem, but they caught most of the cheaters, except for the jackasses who didn't show up for weeks at a time. You know who you are. Oh, wait, he doesn't listen to the show. You know, so it's like, to me, this is just a big dog and pony show, and it just makes me more mad that I had to put up with this crap in in MW2, because, like Patrick said, yeah, they told you about five of them, and then they took the care package glitch, the rocket launcher glitch, what's the one I'm missing, Patrick? There's one I'm missing that we kept seeing. Oh, the attack chopper glitch.
Yeah. I don't know, too many glitches for me.
The dropping the care package on Patrick's head wasn't a glitch, but it was funny.
It was funny.
Not for Patrick, but I didn't beat it. Didn't do it on purpose. It was just wrong place, wrong time. So I just, sorry guys. I know that the mass hordes is just like Halo. I know the mass hordes are gonna go buy this. Although, to my mind, Halo at least has the excuse of it's a kind of a cultural thing. This is just the freaking lemmings to the sea. I predict, I'm going to put on my Karnak tinfoil helmet for a second, I predict that Modern Warfare 3 is going to have a shitload of glitches in it, even more than it might have had they just handled this internally. You know, how about making a game that isn't broken, or less broken than usual? There's an idea. Of course, when you take the clown car approach to development because three-quarters of your staff fled town, I guess that's going to happen. So, there you have it. That has been news. Kind of more angry and ranting, at least from my end this week. Mr. Patrick, do you have a spiel for them? Do you have marketing and advertisement that you can
sure.
give them?
Sure. Well, something brand new that I'm sure you've figured out by now if you've been on our Facebook page or just listened to the show. We are now on Google+ or G+ or whatever the heck they're calling it. If you're in the beta or have had an invite to the beta, check us out. We are WonderPod Online, aren't we? You set it up. And who set it up? Jeez.
I did.
You did, yep.
I did. It's WonderPod Online. Yeah, you've made me have to stop searching porn on one computer because afraid you'll see what I'm looking at. What WonderPod Online, I think it's all one word. I'm pretty sure. And if you want an invite, hit us up because they're still open. I think it's pretty much open. Katie bar the door now.
Yeah, I think everybody and their dog can get in, so yeah.
You can't sign up, but you can get invited.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I think you still need a Gmail account, but that's reasonably easy to make. So yes, we our newest thing is that we're WonderPod on G+ or Google+ or whatever, so check us out or ask us to send you an invite. We can do that as well. Speaking of Facebook-like things, of course we're on Facebook. We've got a few new friend requests and friends. Of course, we accepted. We're up to, I don't know, hundreds and hundreds, 400s of friends. That's great. Thank you all for joining up and asking us questions and checking out our posts and stuff like that. So we've got our G+ and our Facebook. Of course, the podcast itself is on iTunes. Give us a rating. Tell us how much you hate us. Tell us how much you love us. It doesn't matter. Subscribe on iTunes. Listen on Apple TV or listen to the MP3 right on our website. Our website, of course, amazingly, I know you're not going to believe this, it's WonderPodOnline.com. So, that's about all. We got some YouTube videos. Check it out. Just do a search for WonderPod Online. Lots of great stuff. Aside from that, there's so many things now I'm probably forgetting them, but we do have an old-fashioned email for those of you who want to send, like I always say, nude pictures to Bruce McGee. What is our WonderPod email address?
Oh, you're checking it now, too, when you log into the G+.
True.
So,
yep.
Oh, send an ideas for Cornville there, too, by the way.
Yeah. I saw the tail end of a conversation between you and G when I went to check the email for something out for a Google Analytics email. So word to the wise, if you're going to cuss me, find another format. I can view it. I mean, I'm trying to stay out of it so that we're not getting wires crossed and confused, so you can use it for WPO, but I do have to check it for, like, Google Analytics, and some Swedish guy that's going to do comics on our site now might send me an email there. I don't know. Yeah, you have to – something G told me. Anyways, really simple, too. I'll just kind of tack on also, besides the email, to Patrick saying, if you look, Bruce McGee, Pat, or Wonderpod Online, you will find us. We are on Twitter. We're on friggin' Facebook, G+. We're everywhere. We're just kind of below the radar at the moment. But if you still believe in old-fashioned hand-crank email, got one of those, too. And again, originality for the win. It's wonderpodonline@gmail.com. wonderpodonline@gmail.com. Until episode 72, I am Bruce McGee. I am on way too many social media networks, and I'm also out of here. See ya.
I've officially taken my pants off. Goodbye.
Nothing you said had anything to do with professional wrestling or hockey.
All right. See you later, guys.
It's a game podcast. What the hell do you want from us? I played the demo for NHL 11 today. There. Got it.
CM Punk.
Oh, snap.